Hello. Welcome to Be Bold America. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Be Bold America is a live bi-weekly talk show for those who are motivated to step out with the bold actions necessary to reunite this country, fight for our democracy, and learn what they can keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to reclaim our democratic republic. Our future depends on it. Our program today is, has Trump created the largest cult in America? Since his election in 2016, Donald Trump's behavior has been increasingly erratic and alarming. He rallies his followers with chants of fake news and build the wall and continues to spread the us versus them mentality that is dividing friends, families, and our nation. And yet many of his followers remain blindly devoted. Behind this bizarre display of lies and narcissism, there is a familiar pattern of a cult leader and his followers. Stephen Hansen, who has so many degree initials after his name, it would be impossible for me to relate them all, is a world-renowned expert on undue influence and cults, a mental health professional, speaker, consultant, author, and educator. He has been helping people leave destructive cults since 1976, after he was deprogrammed from the Sun Young Moon's Unification Church. He is the founding director of the Freedom of Mind Resource Center. Stephen Hansen has also authored 4 books, the most recent of which is The Cult of Trump, now being published in paperback. Stephen has been seen on CNN, Fox News, 60 Minutes, Dr. Phil, and The Today Show, to name a few. And just last Friday, NBC News published his article titled, Trump's QAnon Followers Are a Dangerous Cult, How to Save Someone Who's Been Brainwashed. He also has a TED Talk titled, Is Technology Controlling Your Mind? We have big things to do. Also joining me to co-host today is Tony Russomano. Tony is on the Santa Cruz County Democratic Party Executive Board, and whose interest in cults began when he went to Guyana following the Jonestown Massacre. He won the Edward R. Murrow Award for his international reporting of the Jonestown tragedy. And thank you, Tony, for joining me. One interesting local fact to know about Stephen is that he lived in Capitola a long time ago while he was attending UCSC for some courses. Tony, you there?
He was involved with neuro-linguistic programming.
And other things, too, social behavior, I think. Now, Stephen, thank you for coming to Be Bold America. We're very excited to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. And I was not at the university. It was a private.
Oh, it was a private training. Okay.
Training.
My mistake.
Bandler and Grinder and all the top people in 1980 and 81.
Wow. Well, Stephen, I'm going to start with the question that has been on 65% of the country's mind for 3.5 years. And what will most likely lead to everything you want to talk about? And that is, how can 35% of the country not see that the man in the White House, that David K. Johnson, who's followed his whole career, says is a pathological liar, you know, won't take responsibility for anything, creates his own reality, and has brought this mass casualty event to our country?
It's very sad. Mm. And unfortunately, history gives us many examples of malignant narcissists who assume power, usually through lying and manipulation and force and threats and blackmail and all kinds of other criminal activity. And unfortunately, we in our country are open enough for authoritarians to exploit what are our freedoms, and so many people have become indoctrinated into believing that he is going to save America.
It's so many people. It's 35% or maybe even 40% of this country. It's just astounding to me. Tony, do you have a question for Stephen?
Yeah, Steve, you started out by using a psychiatric term, a malignant narcissism. Now, Trump has been described as having grandiose narcissism, but other presidents have had grandiose narcissism in the psychiatric term. The you know, the dark side of that is what you called malignant narcissism. You know, and that's like Jim Jones or Vladimir Putin or Hitler. So I don't really care much about what Trump's psychiatric diagnosis is. But what I do wonder is, what is the effect of narcissism, either grandiose or malignant, on the individual's followers? In other words, how do otherwise rational people adapt to irrational behavior? You know, I saw it in Guyana with Jim Jones. Tell me how you see it in Trump.
Well, so first of all, malignant narcissism actually is not a psychiatric defined term. Eric Fromm came up with it, and basically that's narcissism plus the psychopathic aspects, thinking you're above the law, the pathological lying, the exploitation, the sadism, violence, harassment, paranoia, inability to trust friends. Normal narcissism, which is grandiose, self-centered behavior, fantasies of power, success, and attractiveness, need for praise and admiration, sense of entitlement, and lack of empathy, which I want to highlight, that there's a whole range of narcissists, from even pro-social narcissists to bad narcissists, but it's this malignant anti-social aspects that makes him downright dangerous, as Bandy Lee and the World Mental Health Coalition has said in their book, The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. So what is it like for people who are in the cult of Trump? It's horrible to be around someone where there's zero empathy for you. It's all about them, and it's all about praising them, and knowing you're going to be punished if you raise a question or a doubt or challenge anything that he says or does. As we've seen, so many people have been fired or demoted, or who have themselves taken themselves out of public service because they just can't stand being around him. I guess I want to state a fact for me, which is that Edward Bernays, who wrote the 1928 book Propaganda that Goebbels used for the Nazis, and Bernays was hired to do the first presidential election and was hired by the tobacco industry to get women to smoke cigarettes. What we're experiencing is almost 100 years of sophisticated development of understanding about how to manipulate people's thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And with the digital age, through social media, through scraping illegally details about each person, Russia and the Christian right and other people have been able to target a core audience who have become enslaved to this black and white, all or nothing, good versus evil mentality, where they are programmed not to trust any critical information other than what he says or his cronies. And that's exactly like it was for people in the People's Temple or Scientology or the Moonies or any number of other cults.
All right, let me ask you this then. Apart from the American Psychiatric Association Manual of Psychiatric Disorders and the codes that they, you know, psychiatrists use to get Medicare reimbursement, how do psychiatrists define pure evil?
They don't. There's no term for evil in the diagnostic manual. It's, you know, many people who've been doing mental health care for decades don't think very highly of the manual, except that it's interesting for insurance reimbursement and research. So it's not something that I think is of critical importance for your listeners to know. What's more important is to understand that people are human beings, and we have five senses, and we take in information as we need to take in air and food. And if we're getting poisoned information and we don't know how to reality test and we don't think analytically and critically and we don't trust our guts and our consciences and we're surrounded by other people who are espousing this black and white fear-based ideology, anybody can pretty much be taken over.
Stephen,
Stephen, my experience has been that they live in a fictional world, but they think I'm living in a fictional world, and then trying to talk back in a conversation is like trying to talk to a brick wall. What is the role of the right-wing radio and Fox News done to create these parallel universes?
So in my research for the Cult of Trump, I detail what's happened to our media that is so dependent on advertising revenue, that is so disconnected from the public good. And when they took away that public good and people could do entertainment, that's what Fox is doing. So anyway, one example in my chapter on the media, I talked about RT, which is Putin's Russia Today television propaganda network, and how Alex Jones promoted over 1,000 disinformation stories straight from Putin. That got picked up by Breitbart, that got picked up by Fox, and then got picked up by the main media outlets who are reporting it as, can you believe that people are believing this nonsense? But even by repeating it, it's getting out to people's minds all over the country. And people are exhausted. And the way the mind works, if you overload people, if people are sleep-deprived, if people don't have the ability to recharge their batteries and step out and disconnect from sticky website platforms and smartphones, technology can control our minds, unfortunately. And we're dealing with this 21st century phenomenon that is vitally important that we realize it's supposed to serve us, not control us.
Tony, we have a minute and a half till our first break. You have a question for Stephen?
There seems to be something more than black and white, because Trump talks about magic, right? So he famously said that COVID-19 would just magically disappear. Where did this magical thinking come from with Trump?
Oh, he was raised in Norman Vincent Peale's church, The Power of Positive Thinking, where you believe something 100% and it magically comes true, and where sin is a doubt. So he's been conditioned and indoctrinated himself throughout his life to do this magical thinking, which is, by the way, what multi-level marketing cults do, prosperity ministers do. You know, just believe it and pray. You can give your last dollar, put it on your credit card to the ministry, and God's going to bless it 10 times. And then when it doesn't happen, you're blamed because your heart wasn't pure. You didn't pray hard enough.
I thought he was this, you know, this Presbyterian minister in New York that was completely innocuous. You know, how did he get involved with the Trumps?
Not at all.
And can
not
you we
all.
Hold the answer till after our break? You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online from KSQD.org's homepage, or catch up on previous shows by visiting the KSQD Be Bold America webpage or through your favorite podcast platform. I'm your host, Jill Cody.
Hi, I'm Tom Hartman, your host for Progressive Talk on KSQD 90.7 FM, community radio for the Central Coast, 4 p.m. weekdays. KSQD is a vital media resource for listeners in Santa Cruz and Monterey counties and worldwide on the web. Please help support this station by making a contribution to keep the station thriving. Go to ksqd.org and give what you can to help keep shows like mine coming to you daily at 90.7 FM. You know, with six large corporations owning most of the media, it's essential that listeners support grassroots, locally run radio stations like KSQD. Community Radio is responsive to its listeners and isn't afraid to challenge the status quo. Please join me, Tom Hartman, in supporting KSQUID 90.7 FM Community Radio for the Central Coast by making your pledge today online at ksqd.org. That's 90.7 FM KSQUID. Catch me right here at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you, and tag your it.
Today, our topic is, has Trump created the largest cult in America? We're speaking with the author of The Cult of Trump, Stephen Hassan, and you can find his work at freedomofmind.com. My co-host today is award-winning journalist Tony Russomano, who is also an executive board member of the Santa Cruz County Democratic Party. Now, Stephen, over to you about answering Tony's question on, you know, Norman Vincent Peale.
Yeah, I don't think he was benign at all. And I think that for those of your listeners who've come across terms like the law of positive attraction or the secret, this is all magical thinking. Now, I'm a mental health professional and I'm trained in hypnosis and I'm all for positive visualization. But the critical thing is there needs to be an internal locus of control for what people believe and not somebody with an agenda that exploits and manipulates someone to become dependent and obedient. So in my work, I have an influence continuum that goes from ethical on one end of the continuum to unethical. So for example, ethical influence, you have informed consent. You know up front who the person is or who the group is, what they believe, and what they want from you. Whereas on the unethical end, there's deception through withholding vital information, distorting it, or outright lying. So any legitimate religion does not lie or trick people into believing and getting involved. And that's the difference between religious destructive cults and kooky religions that are benign. That's one example.
Now,
I mean, I can continue speaking if you want.
Well, I do have a question, which is the title of the show. Has Trump created the largest cult in America, and is QAnon part of that?
Yes. And I have QAnon in the book, The Cult of Trump, although I could not have imagined when I wrote the book last year that it would have somebody going to Congress who is a believer, or that Pence would be going to a fundraiser at a QAnon believer's house, which I think he's doing tonight.
No, he's not. He canceled.
It's pretty.
Oh, good.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Okay. Now, thank you for that, Tony. By the way, I just have a tremendous respect for you and your reporting for the Jonestown tragedy. That was a life-changing event for me as a former cult member, as I had never heard of the People's Temple when I saw the bodies face down with the hands of parents around their dead children and heard about the cyanide laced flavor aid. I thought, I would have done that if I was ordered to drink it.
Well, be careful what you put in your head. It's going to be there forever.
Yeah, but for me, I came from a nice, educated, intact, middle-class Jewish family, 1.3 miles, by the way, from Donald Trump, but on the poorer side of town, not Jamaica Estates. So I grew up in Flushing, Queens. But I was a very independent, extra-honor student. And my vulnerability was not knowing about how cults operate. My girlfriend had dumped me, and three moony women were flirting with me. And this was way before there was internet and Google. And they just seduced me and got me talking about myself. And they did an incremental step-by-step mind control process that got me believing we were in the last days. The final world war was going to happen in 1977. And I had such a reversal in my belief system in the indoctrination to believe that Korea was the master race, that it's democracy was satanic, that the Holocaust was necessary because the Jews didn't accept Jesus. All of these things I would never have entertain, much less believed, and recruited other people to believe. That's why I don't have harsh feelings towards people who are Trump true believers. I feel sorry for them, and I appeal to everybody who has a family member or friend who's deep in the Trump cult. The worst thing to do is to cut off contact with them and or yell at them and tell them they're stupid or even tell them they're brainwashed because it's going to make them defensive. I can tell you, as a Mooney, my family told me I was in a cult and brainwashed. It didn't help me to get out. But what
I want to bring up two things. First,
sure.
As a true believer, don't you think that some people substitute one belief for another?
I don't know what that means.
All right. We'll pass on that.
More.
Second, okay, fine. Meditate on that. Secondly,
no, I don't know what you mean.
Oh, okay, fine. You don't know what I mean. Secondly,
one belief for another. I don't know what that means.
Okay, good, fine. You don't. Secondly, there are good cults, aren't there? I mean, not all cults are bad.
Sure.
Yeah, at least you know, there are some cults that are benign, right? I mean,
exactly.
Jill said that the largest cult in America is the Trump cult, but the largest cult in California is the Grateful Dead cult. Maybe the largest cult on the East Coast is the Bruce Springsteen cult, but they're cults without a purpose. They're benign cults, correct?
Well, they're not without a purpose, but you're free to join. You're free to talk to whoever you want to, or critics. You can read whatever you want. And if you decide you don't want to do it anymore, there's no phobias that are installed in your head that you're going to go insane or burn in hell or whatever that gets put in people's heads. You know, when you're in a mind control cult, you can't imagine leaving and being happy and fulfilled. And the minute you meet an ex-member who has, and they're happy, then the doubts start surfacing in your consciousness because they shouldn't be happy.
What?
That's why a whole range of cults should speak out and share their experiences with people in the cult of Trump.
Yeah, there are all sorts of reasons why people are in cults. You and I, we've been communicating, for the past couple of days about your research, and we've had mutual contact with Margaret Singer, research on cults. But we're going to focus on Trump right now and the cult of Trump, which is your book. So I think what I get out of your book is a lack of empathy that Trump really has. So why do you think that Trump lacks empathy?
Oh, well, the best understanding is that there was a failure in his early childhood for what's called secure attachment, which is the foundation for developing a healthy sense of self. It's, in other words, it's the failure of having parental figures who make you feel special, who make you feel safe, who feed you, who give you consistency. And so you start craving attention to make up for the love that was missing in your earliest childhood. And so it's considered to be what's called a compensatory strategy. To need narcissistic supply, to surround yourself with people who say, "Oh, Tony, you're so special, you're so great." And if you're secure in yourself, you don't need that nonsense. You know, if somebody says you did a good job, you feel good about it, but it's not going to the core of your sense of self.
Now, Stephen,
other cult leaders, absolutely true. Other cult leaders have had problems with parents, especially relationships, especially their mothers. But why does that necessarily mean, that doesn't necessarily mean, rather, that an individual who has a problem with his or her mother will turn into a cult leader? So what's the?
No. Most people don't become, cult leaders. And fortunately, just as most people were sexually abused as a child, don't become predators. It's a very small percentage who identify with the aggressor and go on to become a predator. Most people are just traumatized, and they have a whole host of psychological and emotional issues that need to get addressed in order for them to compensate, repair the damage, and have a healthy, happy, secure set of relationships.
Now, Stephen, I want to bring in a listener question now, because talking more about QAnon, there was a recent New York Times article titled The Mothers of QAnon, and the gist of the article was that there's a deep, dark cabal of undefined people who want to capture children to use in sex rings, and it's very sophisticated, as it has the potential to gather moms wanting to protect innocent ones. The attempt to scare suburban voters, mothers who go beyond protecting our innocent children. The listener that sent me this said that she saw it as a wedge issue to try to separate white suburban public voters from Black Lives Matter cooperation, with the overriding goal is to keep Americans divided. Do you have some thoughts on QAnon and how it's a lot of women are part of it?
Oh, yeah. So there's lots to talk about. We are being subjected to what's known as fourth generation warfare. It's a psychological operations type of thing. It was written about first in the 80s by William Lenz, who connected with Paul Weyrich of the Christian Right. But it's, instead of trying to convert someone to your way of thinking, it's to discredit leaders, discredit institutions, to discredit science, discredit truth, to disorient people, confuse people so that they can be more receptive to authoritarian indoctrination. And what Russia has been doing extensively, and it's not just Russia, North Korea, China, Iran, there's a number of other actors that are doing it on America, because America represents the greatest threat to their efforts of power and money, etc. But it's all about creating conflict. It's all about creating confusion. And I talk about in my book one of the most powerful techniques, and it's what Trump does every time he opens his mouth. It's to tell a lie with certainty. And the way normal people react is they have confusion, because he's the president. He shouldn't lie. But, you know, after 20,000 known fact-checked lies, there are many of us who go, of course he's lying. But there's a lot of people who still are like, but he's so certain, and he's the president. How could he be doing this? So the point is that I'm trying to convey to your listeners is that everyone needs to learn more about psychology. They need to learn more about what mind control is. And I define it as an overlap of behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control, all aimed at redefining a person's sense of self.
You call that the BITE model in your book.
Yes, exactly. And it's helped so many people exit all types of controlling mind control relationships and groups, because it's a model, and you plug in your own experiences into the model. And so you can go down the laundry list of things. Do they tell you you shouldn't talk to critics and former members? Well, when I first interviewed David Weissman, who is a self-professed MAGA troll, who left and started speaking critically of Trump, he was incredibly harassed by all of his pals. And it was just so obvious that they were acting like a cult would act to someone who's defected from Scientology or People's Temple or the Moonies or anything else.
Well, before we have another break to take, but I'd like to just ask you a question to think about over it, and it might be getting to what Tony was thinking about too, is what are these people looking for? Are there that many people looking for someone who has superpowers, extraterrestrial powers? I mean, Q could be a Russian bot. Nobody knows who Q is. And it's metastasizing.
I am Q. I admit it. I'm Q. here I am. I'm coming out. I'm Q. Okay,
there you go.
Now you know.
So what does... What do these people, what are these people looking for? But I need to take a break. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Our topic is, has Trump created the largest cult in America? And we're talking with Stephen Hessen, who wrote the book, The Cult of Trump. And it just came out in paperback. Also co-hosting with me is Tony Russomano, two-time Peabody Award recipient and winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award for International Reporting.
Buddhism, Judaism, Baha'i, Islam, Christianity, Hinduism. Sound interesting? Faith Matters is a unique bi-monthly program that explores spirituality, life, and meaning with local religious leaders. We discuss areas of common ground and also identify distinct differences among diverse spiritual perspectives. Join us on the second and fourth Sunday evening of every month from 6 to 7 as we have thought-provoking conversations about Faith Matters on 90.7 KSQD.
Now, back to our bold and impressive guest, Stephen Hessen, and co-host Tony Russomano. So, Stephen, what are these people looking for? They could be revering a Russian bot.
So, we're closing in on the team of people who are at the top of this cult of QAnon. But obviously, or not obviously, the belief system is that Trump is the savior. They believe that there's this Illuminati, the satanic cabal of traffickers and pedophiles, and that magically Trump is going to arrest and end this whole trafficking ring and bring about America the beautiful, which is in the image of a Christian nation, which our founding fathers explicitly wanted separation of church and state. That's what the people ran away from Britain to get away from the king. But all human beings want meaning. All human beings want connection and community. All human beings thrive on being part of something bigger than themselves. What's happened since the pandemic in particular and the economy collapse is people are freaked out, they're anxious, they're stressed out, and what people want is hope. And so there are the folks who want hope, and what Trump is doing is playing on the fear, the motivation to avoid the negative. So he's framing Biden as this radical Marxist, evil, being. And so he's going to save him from this concocted, negative image. But, deep down inside, people, I do think, don't like to be lied to, and they don't like to be exploited, and they don't want to appear to be fools. So aside from the people who are making money off of QAnon, selling merchandise and books, or aside from the people who are on the payroll of Russia or the Christian right, I think there's going to be a lot of people coming out of the cult of Trump. And what I would like to see is a healing and a pulling together rather than, I told you it was a cult. Why didn't you listen to me? That's what some of my friends said to me when I got out of the Moonies. And
really?
It was so traumatizing.
Pardon me, Steve. May I interrupt you? Steve, you're telling me
sure. That
people don't like to be lied to, and yet Christianity has existed for 2,000 years? I personally refuse to live my life based on the myths and legends of Bronze Age goat herders. But the fact is, you cannot argue logic against dogma. And that's what so many people involved in the Trump cult are involved in right now. It is a dogma.
Yeah. So I'm not a Christian, and I certainly am not a fundamentalist or Orthodox Jew by any stretch of the imagination. But I guess, Tony, I'm trying to appeal to people's sense of meaning and connection. And when you're in a group with, if you question it, you're going to be turned on, and people are going to attack you and treat you badly, you know it. I mean, it's like growing up in the Soviet Union or in China. You know that you're going to get into trouble with the authorities. So you wind up having to pretend and have a persona. And it's fundamentally not as good as when you're in a free country and able to navigate as I have for 66 years. And the thought of another 4 years with Trump is horrifying to me.
Well, and I feel I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the coronavirus pandemic right now, because it may have been you that said this, and I don't know who to attribute it to, Stephen, but it was something like a religious savior would give his life for you, a cult savior asked you to give your life for him. And that happened in Jonestown, and it just seems to be playing out today with over 190,000 people who have died because Trump, you know, just ignored it and took no responsibility.
Can I speak to Jonestown? Because I was actually in Guyana covering the Jonestown massacre.
Please.
Jones was a well-respected man before he left for Guyana. He isolated his followers, but you know, if I can put it into really terms that are outside of you know, the medical definitions, what Jones told his followers was, in essence, life is difficult. You know, I know you're having a tough time. I will make the difficult decisions for you. In essence, he's saying, all I ask is that you give up your free will. So that was the essence of what happened in Jonestown. When I talked to the survivors down there in Guyana, and there were very few, but when I talked to them, they all said their lesson from Jonestown was, don't follow leaders. Believe in your own inclination. You know, trust, you know, your own belief when you go into a situation, and don't follow people to the extent that they did. That's the lesson of Jonestown. Mm-hmm.
So, Stephen, tactics compare that Jim Jones, who directed that mass murder, how exactly do the tactics compare to Donald Trump's?
So I have a BITE model, and I've applied it to Jonestown. It's on the UCSD website for Jonestown, and I have a blog, and I interviewed Vernon Gosney, who was shot three times in the stomach on the airstrip with Congressman Ryan, who was assassinated.
And Jackie Speier, who is a representative from California now.
But understand that Jones was well-respected when he was in the U.S., but he fled because of all kinds of issues and problems. And once he got down there, it was a totalist environment surrounded by jungles. Armed guards were put, people's passports were surrendered. And he had loudspeakers with his voice going 24/7. He actually did rehearsals for the mass suicide before Ryan came down, etc. And people didn't have any ability to reality test. And if anyone expressed doubts publicly, they were punished. Not that, you know, Deborah Layton escaped. She wrote a great book called Seductive Poison. She's done a lot of great interviews about it. So there are people who you know, have courage and speak out and try to help other people. But I can tell you personally, I was not looking to leave my life. I was not looking for a leader. I was not interested in groups. I was a writing major in college, writing poetry and short stories. And so how did this happen to me is the subject of many years of therapy and four books that I've written. And it really speaks to an underlying condition that all human beings have, that we're connected to one another and we're so dependent on our information that comes into our minds and the people in our environment as well. And what I recommend that people don't just have friends who think like them and feel like them and walk like them and talk like them, but actually talk to people who have different beliefs and really try to step into their shoes. And I'm not saying you should believe what they believe, but try to understand that from, as you were correctly saying, Jill, you know, they think that we're brainwashed. People writing me all the time saying, I'm in the cult of Soros, or I'm in the brainwashed by the Democrats. And I say, let's look at the influence continuum, the Bite model, and let's discuss it.
Steve,
you know, and I'm willing to talk to
people. I'm sorry. Go on.
Go ahead, Tony.
Is there an unwillingness of people generally to be able to say no?
I think that may be true for some people, that where they didn't learn how to be assertive. So they may be intimidated, especially if someone, you know, looks them straight in the eye and speaks with a very authoritative voice. But I think with an hour or two of preventive education, most people can avoid, you know, 80% of cult recruiters. And it really comes down to, you know, understanding if something is legitimate, it will stand up to scrutiny, that you should always have trustworthy family and friends that you can bounce ideas off of, and that if something isn't true, then it will become exposed. And if it isn't, you go, oops, I wish I had known then what I know now. Time to move on.
Now, Stephen, you know, when designers, code writers are designing a game and several apps, that they use the brain technology of dopamine, and the dopamine supplied at the right moment, you know, gets people to stay longer on the app and do more, and then it's easier for them to monetize it. You know, they figure out ways to personalize the delight that using the app gives them, and works with the rhythm and timing
absolutely.
To surprise them and hook them, so they'll stay longer. How does dopamine work with an individual's participation in a cult?
No, so B.J. Fogg, who is at Stanford, is one of the originators of this understanding of how to program, and it's a version of Pavlovian conditioning, ringing the bell and getting the dog to salivate, to understand that when the brain has this good feeling, well, we want more of it. You get the ding, and you get, oh, notification. And you get programmed to respond to it, and you feel like you're going somewhere or learning something. But many of these things are what's known as rabbit holes, where you didn't choose to spend your time for the last hour looking at the last 30 posts or YouTubes. And that's where technology was and still is doing algorithms to direct people in certain directions in order to have that stickiness, to have people stay longer on their platforms so that the platforms can make more money in advertising revenue. And alternate reality gaming expert Jim Stewartson, who said, "Oh, QAnon is an ARG. I helped to develop it 20 years ago. They're just these Q drops." Is exactly what we would do in games, where people would try to solve the puzzles of what is the meaning behind this thing. We're meaning-making creatures. In any case, he started clicking likes on Twitter of people who were espousing QAnon beliefs, and within 5 minutes, he had thousands of followers. And he was at a root level where he was looking at posts where they were talking about violence and needing to get their guns and to get the bullets to be, you know, ready. And this was after Twitter announced the deletion of so many of these so-called accounts that were extremists. This was just a couple of weeks ago that he did this, and it was frightening. And it was all because of the algorithms on Twitter. And Facebook has similar algorithms. And it comes back to the question, do we have a commitment to the public good, or is it all about greed and making as much money as we can?
Greed and money. Got it. I had the answer to that one. I got it. Greed and money.
Yeah. Power, and it's time. Power, money, and then sex. Let's get sex.
Yeah. You're listening to Be Bold America on KSQD 90.7 FM. Many voices, one station. I'm your host, Jill Cody. Listen to the show worldwide online at KSQD.org homepage or listen to the show podcasts at KSQD.org Be Bold America webpage.
KSQD thanks the following recurring donors who support our wonderful programs by providing monthly contributions: Paula Mack, Tracy Morgan, Jeff Mile, Alan Rich, and Barbara Springer. You inspire us to give our very best at KSQD 90.7 FM. May you also inspire others to donate on our website, ksqd.org.
Today, our topic is, has Trump created the largest cult in America? We're speaking with the Cult of Trump author, Stephen Hassan, who is a world-renowned expert on undue influence and cults. Co-hosting with me is Tony Russomano, an award-winning journalist who spent 40 years on broadcast radio and national television. Now, Tony, do you have a quick question before we go into the keep, start, stop phase of
First of all, I want to say what a fantastic book this is by Steve. I'm so enthralled by this thing. Great work, Steve. First of all, it is academically brilliant. I mean, you've got basically every factual statement you've got is footnoted. It's referenced, and it's also quite readable, very readable. So, you know, kudos to you for that. I guess the question right now is, how is it that Trump believes in himself so thoroughly? How can somebody have such an uncompromising belief in himself? And the second part of that is that there was somebody who recognized that and exploited it, and that person was a guy named Mark Burnett, the guy that started Survivor and brought Trump to national prominence with The Apprentice. So tell me about the influence of Mark Burnett and also Trump's belief in himself, please.
There's a bunch of things here, but we have to say Soviet Union recruited Trump way before Burnett even knew he existed. Burnett is part of the family in Seven Mountain Dominionism, and he recruited him for The Apprentice, and there's a cult called The Family that Jeffrey Charlotte has written two great books about, and there's a Netflix series called The Family that Michael Pence is a member of, and he recruited a bunch of the cabinet members into. So what we know about Mark Burnett and the creation of the persona of Donald Trump connects to Tony Schwartz, the ghostwriter, who made Trump into a great, brilliant businessman when he was not, and the manufacture of the illusion of success. And coming back to your earlier point, your question about how does he believe in himself, he's a very sick human being, and he is very unhappy human being. He's not well psychologically, even before he ran for president. And from what I'm told, he didn't expect to win. This was something that the Russians celebrated in the White House when he won the presidential bid. But there are actual cults in the cult of Trump that are manipulating and controlling Trump, often using Fox to communicate messaging to him, or through his family or some of his other people like Roger Stone or Steve Bannon. So we have a world moment where we have a choice to go towards authoritarianism or really recognize how precious democracy is and freedom is, and we need to install checks and balances that actually work, including if somebody ever gets elected again to be president, they should never have the amount of powers. Trump should never have even been permitted to run because he was so criminally involved. And we know, you know, in terms of the payment to Stormy Daniels, if that was revealed prior to the election, he would have been disqualified. That's my understanding. And thank you for the wonderful words about my book. Can I get it in writing, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, I was also searching on Amazon for the cult playbook. You know, it seemed to be that I could find that somewhere. I've been cult playbook. You know, it's mentioned many times, but I don't know where is it. It seems that you know all these cult members, cult leaders, have been reading this book, but I can't find it.
So I actually want to do a shout out for Anthony Pratt-Canis, who is a social psychology professor at UC Santa Cruz, and he and
Santa Cruz. Yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. He and Elliot Aronson wrote a wonderful book. I think it's called Propaganda. I'm blocking on the seconds. But anyway, they literally talked about, here's the cult leader's playbook. That was the first time I heard that expression, so I want to do a good attribution to him. But when my book, Combating Cult Mind Control, came out in 1988, it actually was read by a lot of cults. They wanted to understand, and unfortunately, you can reverse engineer a book that explains how to get people out of cults and go, oh, I can create my own cult. That said, my experience is most cult leaders are not just con artists who say, you know what, I'd like to start a cult one day. They actually were in a cult themselves. And they get out, but they never get counseling, and they don't understand it. And then they do a version of what they were already in. And it's called The Age of Propaganda, the Pratt-Canis and Aronson book, with the cult leader playbook. In any case, that playbook is stereotypical. That gives us an advantage to know and predict how they're going to behave. So when families hire me to help a loved one who's involved with a mind control cult, I always want to find a former member of that particular cult, understand the loaded terms, understand the policies, but then it's very predictable on how to empower people to start thinking critically. And part of that, my formula for helping people to wake up is teaching them about social psychology, teaching them about hypnosis, teaching them about other cults that they would agree are bad. And with Trumpers, it's talking about pimp and trafficker cult mind control techniques and Chinese communist brainwashing techniques. Those that they'll like to listen to that. And then I use those two things to spell out the bite model and the influence continuum.
Now, Stephen.
And then I ask people,
We just have a couple minutes left, and what would listeners, you're segueing beautifully into the last section of the show, and that is, what can listeners do, could keep doing, stop doing, or start doing when it comes to the cult of Trump? And just to add in that I read very recently, Thomas Friedman had an op-ed where he talked about, in his view, that humiliation is one of the most underestimated force in politics. And if you make people feel humiliated, they will respond with a ferocity unlike any other emotion. And it's just, how do you start talking to people that you feel are in this mindset, you know, but without humiliating them or making them feel wrong? And I know we only have like 2.5 minutes left.
Oh, come on. It's
we
do another hour. Let's go.
I didn't agree with Tom Friedman and the humiliation.
Good.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Okay.
Just keep doing. What I would say to people is you have to stay charged and grounded. You need to sleep and eat properly, exercise, walk in nature, you know, listen to great music, dance, do things that make you feel real and human and in your body. I would definitely stop overloading yourself with negative news where there's no new information. You're just hearing the same thing over and over again, and there's nothing you can do about it. If there's actual action steps, great. But if it's the same information and there's no new action step, turn off. So stop, you know, that. And start reaching out to people without anger or judgment who believe in Trump and just say, you know, let's be Americans. Let's find a way to be together and build a bright future together.
Let's be bold Americans together.
Yeah, and when I'm helping somebody get out, I always like to ask them to go back before they ever heard of the cult or the cult leader, and ask them what their first impression was. Like, what was your first impression of Trump? And they'll often say, "Oh, I saw him on The Apprentice. Well, what did you think? I thought it was a blowhard. Oh, that's interesting. Tell me more."
You know, oh, that is interesting.
To recover and connect,
Stephen,
with their own. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
We are,
and I wish I had another hour. I'm so enjoyed the conversation. I wish we had more time. Would you be able to come back someday again? And because I still have, you know, 20 more questions.
We can try
in the future.
Honestly, yes. But I really appreciate the opportunity to have Tony on. And Tony and Jill, I'm going to send you links to my my blog with Vernon Gosney, who was shot on the tarmac at Jonestown.
Okay, wonderful.
He became a police officer and the BITE model at Jonestown. And I have the BITE model of QAnon in this recent article that you mentioned earlier, Jill, for NBC News that I wrote. And understand that we can come together, and we need to.
Yes, thank you so much, Stephen. And thank you, Tony, for joining me. And you can reach Stephen at freedomofmind.com. It's an exciting conversation. Next on Be Bold America, we'll be holding our politicians' feet to the fire. How can voters fight for more open and accountable government? Tune in and listen to ideas such as publishing online, all written business on public communication sent out or received, or require politicians to regularly be on television speaking with and answering questions from citizens. There has been an erosion of accountability for decades. How can we get it back? Our future depends on it. The interview guests will be Ed Fry, a Santa Cruz County activist and lawyer, and Mark Carlin from BuzzFlash, who will be joining us again. So please tune in on Sunday, September 27th at 5 p.m. to hear Holding Our Politicians' Feet to the Fire. Want to listen to a program later? Find the Be Bold America podcast on KSQD website or subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breakers, Radio Public, Overcast, and Pocket Casts. You're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz. Many voices, one station. Listen worldwide online at ksqd.org. Stay tuned for Faith Matters with Seth Shapiro. My name is Jill Cody, and thank you for listening to Be Bold America. Until next time, keep, stop, start.
Been listening to Be Bold America.